Cloudy and 85 degrees today. Absolutely beautiful morning, around 60 degrees out there.
The sun is coming up and it is so bright. I thought maybe I got lost because I couldn't see the road coming here. It was so bright.
Great day to go to church.
That's right.
No excuse. Not too hot, not too cold, not stormy. There's no reason why you can't make it to church.
We have masses all day long in this diocese. We really are blessed.
Yes, we are. And merry days, we have Teresa with us, and of course, Solemnity today. So welcome back.
Thank you. I think it's, I didn't realize that I was going to have this opportunity. I was supposed to be someplace else, but my car broke down, so here I am stuck in Omaha.
I prayed, I said, we have to have Teresa here for the Assumption. How can she be somewhere else? And boom, her car broke down.
I go down and the car is dead.
All right, well, we're praying for a new car for Teresa.
Yes, thank you. That would be nice.
Well, Pro Sanctity has so many things coming up. Before we get started talking about the Assumption, let's talk a little bit more about a special retreat you're having at St. Benedict Center, and you have two very special guests.
Yes, first we had no one, but this is the power of Mary. That's right. Intercession. This is a busy time. School is starting. But that was one of the reasons why we like to do this retreat always kind of towards the end of August, because it kind of sets the tone, takes some time, look at where you've been over the summer and where you believe God is calling you to go. So to take some time to ponder that, to spend some time. So we call it the Apostles of Holiness Retreat. It's about the fourth year we've done it. And this year we're opening it up to all members and friends of friends and neighbors and strangers. We don't care who. We think it's going to be conducive for everyone in their spiritual journey, because we're all called to be apostles of holiness. Mm-hmm. We're all called to evangelize holiness, to witness that, to invite our neighbor, our friends, the dog down the street to be what they're supposed to be saints, to be what God is calling us to be. So on the August 25th and 26th, it's 24 hours. We are going to be at Schuyler, St. Benedict Center, the beautiful St. Benedict Center. We will be reflecting with two great preachers, men of God, two friends of Pro Sanctity, Father Michael Gutzel, now the rector at Cathedral. He's been a good friend of Pro Sanctity. In fact, he has been a primary instrument in the translations of all our works from Bishop Jacinta. Our founder is Italian. All his works, obviously, are in Italian. We translate them. Our wonderful Italian members translate them, but they need someone to work on them afterwards, to correct the grammar, to look at, is it clear? Well, Father Gutzel's always been behind the scenes in that regard.
So he's a brilliant man.
He's a brilliant man, and he understands the spirit of holiness and the spirit of our founder. So he will give the opening, we're calling it a pre-note, because it's the premise which holiness is founded on. He's going to look at the beautiful encyclical of Pope Benedict, God is Love, because the first thing about holiness, it's God's divine initiative. God made the choice to take us into himself, to be fully what he wants us to be. He shapes us. It's his initiative. We say, like Our Lady, yes, yes, Lord, use me, send me, organize me, it's God's initiative. So he's going to look at that encyclical as well as a tool for holiness, because as we fall in love with God, we need also information. We want to know more about God. Well, there's a brand new tool from the church called the Compendium of the Catholic Church.
Right.
A lovely, organized question and answer document that really gives us a tool in our hands to know our faith and also to be able quickly and succinctly share it with other people. So he's going to give us those two documents and explain how they are really a foundation to our call to holiness and how they help us to be apostles. That's number one. Number two, it's Father Dan Kampschneider, who I met in Rome when I was studying theology there. He was a seminarian, had just turned deacon.
Kind of like Andy.
Yeah, exactly. And he kind of took me under his wings, made sure I was a lonely American there and in Rome at that point, and invited me up to the North American College, and I got to have Thanksgiving with all the Americans and things like that, and has been a friend ever since. He will kick off, his will be the keynote. This year, Pro Sanctity celebrates a theme. We always do every year a new theme. This year, the theme is Christ's Call to Holiness, and he will share that reflection. And we specifically picked him this summer to do the reflection because he just got off a 30-day retreat.
Wow.
So he's had 30 days to talk to Jesus, so he's got got a lot to tell us.
So all the wonderful folks out at St. Philip Neri, where he was the former pastor,
right.
and now at Vincent DePaul, know him as their pastor.
Exactly.
You too can know the wonderful gifts that he has to share.
Mm-hmm. So just write me, psm@prosanctity.org, or 289-2670, or go to the website and send us a note, and I'll be happy to sign you up. I said 24 hours, so the afternoon will be spent in a reflection on those themes, some small groups, some personal time, and then we're encouraging anybody who wants to spend the full weekend, we're offering the rest of that Saturday evening into Sunday as personal time, opportunity for a little spiritual direction, a little time for personal planning for holiness. You know, we're always encouraging, you know, see where you've been and check out where you are now and where you feel the Lord is inviting you to grow. It's not a loosey-goosey thing. We really have to be serious about our spiritual journey. So we're encouraging you who are listening right now and anyone, even if you don't make the retreat, to take a little time before September hits us and we're off and running thoughtlessly. We want to do it as Mary did, in haste. And if you go back to the Greek, it's symbolousa, which means thoughtfully. To run in haste is not to run thoughtlessly, but in a pondering manner. In a thoughtful manner, in a way which means I am in union and communion with God as I'm running around crazy like a chicken with her head cut off. But the chicken has her head. I have not lost my head. So
and
that,
a purpose.
That will be the first thing that we'll do this summer, August 25th and 26th at Schuyler. And if you can't make it and still want a really wonderful retreat, one that will help kind of set the tone for the year, we have a series going. This is our third one. We will be praying with the Gospel of Mark with Monsignor Andrew Vaccari, who is the Chancellor of the Brooklyn Diocese and the Spiritual Director of the ProSanctity Local Board in Brooklyn. And I just was with him in California because he led the retreat for all the Apostolic Oblates and ProSanctity members there. We've invited him to Nebraska Friday to Sunday, September 15th to the 17th. That's a full weekend retreat. And Monsignor and myself will be giving reflections on the Gospel of Mark, how to pray with it. It's our Sunday Gospels now all the way up until Advent, and we'll be seeing it all through the year at different times as far as the liturgy goes, how to pray with it, how to understand it, how to integrate into your daily life.
And we'll have more information on that as we get closer to it.
Right.
But again, the weekend that's coming up, the 24 hours up in Schuyler, what a great way on the 25th and 26th to be able to get ready for right before or just as school is hitting and you have to run from here to there and you become the person who has to drive the van, or maybe your work life, you've become the coach, or you have to do just before you get ready. Yeah. It's just a great way to settle in. And today's feast day is one of those days. It's a great time to take pause as we're beginning to get ready.
Well, I wanted to get one more little plug-o-meter thing going here, because we have plans in here for Pro Sanctity's Hour of Holiness Helpers coming
up,
too.
That's right. We finally got a name for it. We were going to call it a Holy Happy Hour. We were going to call it Pro Sanctity's Hour, you know. But years and years ago, we had a little activity, and then we had lots of things that we just called Holiness Helpers, how to help you grow in holiness. So on Fridays at 10 a.m., starting, I'm not sure when, maybe this Friday.
Friday on the 18th. Yeah,
okay,
with
wonderful.
With
Jesse Carey, super. We will start, and we have a whole series of our ProSanctity members and friends who will be coming in to tape shows or to be present at these shows that will be filled with all kinds of things that have to do with holiness and growing in holiness. And we always remember that holiness is three-dimensional. It includes our relationship with God, vertical. But as we relate to God, we can't help but look out to the sea of our brothers and sisters horizontally, how we relate to one another, how we treat one another, how God has invited us to be for one another. And finally, we look, as we are united, one in God, the mystical body, we are also in charge of this world. We've been entrusted to bring about the kingdom of heaven starting here on earth. And so how are we building up the kingdom? How are the structures of society supporting holiness which is the only real call. It's the fundamental call. I'm happy to say that it is the most important call, and our movement, the ProSanctity movement, is all about holiness. So this hour will have all everything from life issues to gardening issues to going back to school to motherhood and holiness, fatherhood and holiness. We'll look again at discernment. We'll look again at Mary's stance in relation to the Father and how we are called to imitate that. We'll have all those sorts of wonderful programs coming up. Wonderful. Rita Heichel, who is the coordinator, she is our reluctant coordinator. She says, I didn't know I was in charge. But we put her in charge, and she's great. She already has a great lineup of speakers and programs.
And we'll be hearing more about that on Friday and yes, as we get a little bit closer, too.
That's right.
Okay. Now,
today's feast day, the Feast of the Assumption, for many of our Protestant brothers and sisters, they just don't, what is this about? And it's one of those Marian issues that they seem to take exception to. They don't understand it. And a lot of Catholics don't know how to explain it. But as I kind of alluded to, and you helped me out, the Assumption is not such an illogical thing. It's not the first time that we can say that it has occurred, even in Scripture, because it did, again, with Elijah was taken in a chariot up. Moses, we're not sure, because he was, but in the Transfiguration, there's an indication.
We see him fully glorified.
Right. That's right.
We see him there.
So
go back and read the Transfiguration.
There might have been an indication that occurred at that time. Also, Enoch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as familiar with the story as others may be, but it's not the first time. But why, if those men had been assumed into heaven, why not the Mother of God?
The early church talked about it all the time. And the early church, you know, we have two bases of our faith, and that's Scripture and tradition. And tradition has been consistent in its pondering and its meditation on the person of Mary. And we see it in the icons, we see it in the liturgy, we see it in the devotional life of the people, that Mary, obviously because of who she was in the plan of salvation, in the economy of salvation, of course she would be assumed. We have questions about how she died, did she corrupt, all those sorts of things. And we don't know the answers. Those are not, and no one has known those answers.
Is it really that important?
That's the point, right. Yeah. What is important is to ponder her place in the role of salvation in relation to her son. And that's what we have to ask ourselves a question. The church has defined it as a dogma. That means that it is official teaching of the church. And there's a beautiful document, and you can find it online. EWTN has it. TheMaryPage.org has it. And it has a wonderful title. And I'm sure Bruce knows it. He doesn't know it.
No.
And I wouldn't have either. I didn't do that as a $100 question.
Okay. I don't know it.
No.
And that's the right answer, Bruce.
It's like a mouthful. Mun efficientissimus Deus.
Wow.
The most bountiful God, the translation from the Latin.
Did Father Gutzel help you with that one?
No, figured this one out. It took me about 3 years, but I figured it out. I'll read the first line of the document that proclaims Mary as being assumed into heaven. And this is the first line. The most bountiful God, munificentissimus Deus, the most bountiful God, who is almighty, the plan of whose providence rests upon wisdom and love, tempers in the secret purpose of his own mind the sorrows of people and of individual men by means of joys that he interposes in their lives from time to time, in such a way that under different conditions and in different ways, all things may work together unto good for those who love him. And then he takes he reflects on this bountiful God who has given us a mother. And this mother is heart, soul, mind, and human, and divine, and was the container, was able to contain within herself and form within herself, as any woman does who has a baby, form the Savior of the world. So if we pause to think about the bounty of God, the dogma is not a definition that we have to believe in. The dogma, as Flannery O'Connor put it, is a gateway to contemplation. If we would just pause and reflect that Mary was the mother of God, God, man, dwelt in her womb, And Pope Pius XII goes on to reflect deeply on the meaning of Mary, who received the seed from the Spirit, Mary who undid the yes to the serpent of Eve through her yes to the angel, the yes to the Father, undid and opened up again the gates of heaven. All this in her womb, in her beautiful virginal womb.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's common sense. My thought is it's common sense that with the effects of redemption already at work in her, remember, she was, what was she? Pre-redeemed. She didn't do this on her own. This wasn't something just kind of out of the blue. This was the effects of Christ's redeeming action, his death and his resurrection and rising into heaven. His saving of humankind started with this beautiful lady, with his own mother. I mean, that's the part where we, if we would just ponder that today, that Mary was already redeemed. And if we are already redeemed, we don't die.
Right.
We don't die. And the problem today, and I say this is my problem too, is that we are so present moment. We are so just right here. We can't think beyond our nose. We don't believe even beyond our nose. We don't even pause. And it was one of your reflections earlier today on the radio. We don't even think of heaven. But it's important to think of where we are now and where we are going. And Mary, on this day, when we see her body and soul assumed into heaven, it's important to think, where is she going? And why is she going there? And what happened to her that could happen? She is redeemed. And we too will rise again.
Mm-hmm.
We too, our body will not, our body goes into the earth and will corrupt because we still have the effects of original sin. But hers would not. She's already completely and totally redeemed. She completely and totally said yes to God.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
Okay,
say yes to some scripture reflection.
Oh,
T. Scott with the news, sports, and weather headlines. And then I promise we'll be back for an uninterrupted run to the top of the hour at 8 o'clock.
Great.
Teresa Monahan from Pro Sanctity. Stay with us.
Thank you.
You're not late. It's a bad thing. Tuesday, it is mid-August 15th. Spirit Mornings with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And Teresa Monahan from Pro Sanctity.
Thank you. Well,
Solemnity of the Feast of the Assumption. Okay.
All right.
I promise not to talk during this.
No, meeting. I want you to talk. I want you to talk. What I want to do is to ask a key question, a personal question. You know, it's a dogma. It's a statement of faith. We believe it. In fact, we have to believe it. If it's a dogma, you have to believe it. But it is not a static statement. In fact, I'll read the statement for you. If we're going to talk about a dogma, we have to give its clear understanding of it, but we also have to spend time with it. Oh my God. Here it is. All right. It's very beautiful. It's number 44 in the document called
Deus.
Exactly. The bountiful God.
I remember it started with an M and had Deus in it. So.
Munificentissimus Deus, the bountiful God. And the Pope writes this. For which reason, after we have poured forth prayers of supplication again and again to God and have invoked the light of the Spirit of truth for the glory of the Almighty God, who has lavished his special affection upon the Virgin Mary for the honor of her Son, it's all about Jesus,
mm-hmm.
for the honor of her Son, the immortal King of the ages and the victor over sin and death, for the increase of the glory of the same august Mother, and for the joy and exaltation of the entire church. That means we could have cake today. We could have cake today. Today is a day to exalt,
I knew that.
To celebrate.
Yep. I always mark those cake days.
It's
you
a
do.
Cake day. By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed apostles, Peter and Paul, and by our own authority, we pronounce, declare, and define. Can you get more clear than that?
Mm-hmm.
Pronounce, declare, and define it to be divinely revealed dogma, based on scripture and tradition, that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. And let me repeat that, because that should be a focus of meditation today. It should be a focus that gives focus to our daily lives, that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed, we don't assume it, she was assumed,
right.
body and soul into heavenly glory. No, we don't know exactly how she died. No, we don't know if she went into the earth and decayed as we will. But we do know that we were promised everlasting life through the power of the resurrection, and she already has that gift given.
And here's Chris, who wasn't going to talk, who will now talk.
Christy!
Well, it's important for people, I mean, yes, to realize that it's not that she... Don't confuse this, like she went herself.
No.
That
no.
she yes. had a power to go to heaven herself or to raise herself.
In fact,
herself.
That's a $100 question. What's the difference between assumption and ascension? Mm. Bruce? What's the difference? Oh, no, Christy's got it. Chris, go for it. What's the difference? This is very important.
Yeah. It is.
The Lord ascended, Mary was assumed. What's the difference? Go.
Ascension under his own power, Mary was taken up.
Yeah.
She
exactly.
needed the assistance of God, the Holy Spirit, to bring her forth.
And why?
Because he's... What?
Because she wasn't God.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yes,
$1,000
exactly.
of
go.
Graces he gets right today. Absolutely. She wasn't God. She was human like us.
Right.
That's part of the pondering today. To pause and think, Mary was a woman like us in everything, including that she had received the graces of redemption, and she said yes to those. She was touched by those graces, by God's divine plan, that God wanted a holy dwelling for his son. For us. It's all about us in this sense.
Yeah.
It really is all about us. Her yes was for us. His redemption was for us. Her being assumed into heaven is to remind us that it was for us. And we have, as we look up and don't look down... Once in a while, we have to look up. We have a journey. She is the pilgrim ahead of us. She's the first disciple, the first follower of Jesus. She is the first to get there, to arrive there. And we have to, I love the phrase, keep the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Pause and think, where are you going? Why am I doing a retreat in August so that the year won't be so crazy? So that we keep the end in mind. Pause and think where you're going. And a few little stories here. I think one of the problems about keeping the end in mind and really pondering the assumption doesn't relate to us. How can we make it relate to us? Because we are only here temporarily. We are, as St. Paul says, sojourners in a strange land. You know, moving towards our heavenly homeland. We are just here temporarily. I had... the experience a couple times this summer, actually, with young people in particular, that I'm out of control. I can't help myself. I have a young man. I went to school at Dayton. I'm doing a little course there on Mariology. And a young man named Chris Padgett, who happened to be with...
Oh, yeah.
We know Chris. He's been on the air with us.
Yeah,
isn't
musician,
he wonderful?
Among others, yeah.
Well, he's crazy wonderful. And as he sat in class, you know, he has 8 children now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there with 2 cups of coffee and a bottle of pop and water, you know, and he's giving a presentation on Mary like nobody's business. He knows the fathers of the church. He knows his stuff. He's going to be a doctor of Mariology. There's no doubt about it, as well as a doctor of his family, father of his family. He says, and he has a great big donut in front of him. And he just told me that he was on this diet and he's too fat to be a rock star anymore and he needs to watch it. And I said, Chris, you just told me you're on a diet and there you got this big donut. He says, I know, Teresa. He says, I'm out of control. And I've been thinking about that because we are out of control. We are not, and the point is, we are not in control.
Mm-hmm.
God is in control. And we need to entrust ourselves to his care. And as soon as we do, we hear in the very secret of our heart, behold your mother. We have been given a mother. A young woman who is in our institute, is an apostolic oblate. When she was raised, she didn't know Jesus at all. She was absolutely pagan, if you want to use that term. Absolutely did not know Jesus at all. She didn't know anything about God. She lived in Latvia, up above Russia. She's in Italy now, but at that point. And she tells me that when she was in her 6th grade year, her mother was pregnant with a child, 5th child, and was having lots of trouble. And everybody in the house was so, you know, upset. Her father was pacing, and she just went into her room. And for the first time in her life, never been taught to do this, she kneels down and she cried out, if there is a God, you must have a mother. and Mother of God, help my mother. This woman now is a consecrated woman dedicated to evangelizing holiness all over Eastern Europe. Wow. But it came from a natural, God-given inclination that God is God and that God has a mother and that God has given that mother to us. And that's not something we can make up. Mm-hmm. That isn't something that we can just, it has been an intuition of the people of God since the beginning. That we have a mother, and that mother continues to care for us and watch out for us. Chris has a question.
Very good point.
You know, I'm just so struck with today's reading, and I, you know, when I first saw it, and I'm wondering why the visitation on the Feast of the Assumption, and then as you think about it, here is God. Does God need us for anything? No, because He's God. I mean, He is omnipotent. He's everything, and yet He entered into the womb of this woman, who brought him to Elizabeth and John the Baptist. I mean, she said yes, and she hastened to bring him to others. You know, and their recognition that he was present. Did he need to have this vessel? No. But he chose her.
God chose.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so, and people wonder, you know, why Mary? I mean, Mary, I've heard people say, well, that she's not that special. She's just a regular person.
Oh, man.
You know,
think
we
about
build,
it.
We carve mountainsides, the faces of former presidents who are just flawed human beings, just like the rest of us. We build monuments and big towers to men and women to say that they're so wonderful. Why not? Why not have this day for a woman who said yes to the Almighty One?
And it was all out of God's initiative. Mm-hmm. As you're saying, God chose to give us a mother. Behold your mother. God chose. He chose from all eternity, before we were even conceived, He conceived of the mother, that He wanted to give us this special gift. And I think that's something to ponder. Mm-hmm. So the celebration of this dogma is a gateway of contemplation. It does invite us because, first of all, when we look at Mary, we remember that she was a woman of prayer. She teaches us how to pray, how to be in constant conversation with God, to be moving in haste towards our brothers and sisters, but always out of the initiative of what God has done in us. And every evening the church celebrates the Liturgy of the Hours, and every evening we proclaim the greatness of God, mm-hmm. that He has lifted up the lowly. It is God's initiative. So today's celebration teaches us how to pray. Spend time with Mary today and ask her to help you to pray.
And one of the other things too, Teresa, is we have the beauty of the Angelus.
Oh.
You know, it's 6, noon, and 6. Really contemplate that Angelus today when you hear that coming up on the radio. Or go look it up and just pray it.
That the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Yeah.
Because of Mary's yes. That came about. Again, we see her instrumentality, that Mary was a woman of prayer, but also a woman who did the work of God, Opus Deus. She did the work of God. She gives us the prime example of how prayer and work, or at labora, the Benedictine motto, how prayer and work go hand in hand. She just doesn't sit in her little room, you know, pondering her, you know, thoughts. But she goes in haste to her brothers and sisters. It's a natural inclination of the heart. In fact, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about that, that the more we pray, the more we go out. Mm-hmm. And the more we go out, the more we know we need to pray. This is sometimes that we feel a little schizophrenic because, you know, oh, I need to pray. Oh, no, I need to go out. But it becomes a beautiful rhythm of prayer and work, mm-hmm. prayer and good works, prayer and holy works.
It's a spiritual circle.
Exactly, exactly. And I'd like to share a little story of Mary's. As she is assumed into heaven, she doesn't stop working for us. She continues the exact same work of earth in heaven. She continues to be our mother. She continues to watch over us. She continues to intercede for us. And if we counted the number of apparitions, oh my gosh, they number the stars of heaven. You know, that there are so many to this day. But that's even more than that. There's these small kind of, maybe we might call them insignificant apparitions of everyday life, where we see the face of Mary working. I was on on a flight the other day, right as the terrorist attacks were being announced and everybody had to give up their liquids. Oh, and I had to give up my shampoo and conditioner as I'm traveling. I didn't even, I was so
odd. You still look shiny and
thank
healthy.
Thank you, thank you. My gray is just really beautiful.
I like gray.
Thank you. Yeah. But I kept seeing people crying. And I saw this lovely lady with her daughter, and I didn't know about, I had not read the news, I'd just come off retreat, I didn't know anything, until they said, you know, you have to give up your shampoo, and I said, who made that rule? Well, they made it this morning, the lady said. Oh, I still didn't know anything. This lovely lady goes by me, and she's crying, crying, crying. She has to put her daughter on the plane. And I said a little prayer to our Blessed Mother. I said, Mary, if you want me to do something for this lady, I will. Otherwise, I'll just pray for her. And the lady walks by me and stops right in front of me. And she's a stranger. I'm a stranger to her. She's a stranger to me. And I patted her on the shoulder. I said, it's going to be okay. And she looked at me and with a half a smile, she says, I know, it's just hard. And she walked on. Mm-hmm. She was in a big, huge crowd of people. I know that Mary made her come over so that she could have a word of encouragement. So there was a visitation moment there, an awareness that somebody cared about what she was going through. I didn't have a clue why she was crying. I'm sure, now knowing that it was a terrorist experience that day, that she was worried about putting her daughter all by herself on the plane. You know, I'm sure of that.
And it is. It's all through the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Holy Spirit working through Mary.
Exactly. And
that exchange. And it's the Holy Spirit that revealed to Elizabeth. And the child leaped in the womb.
Exactly.
Mary was there. She's the one that we can identify with. And when we pray to her, she's a vessel of that Holy Spirit.
And today is a day about getting in touch with the fact that she's active and in heaven. She's been assumed into heaven to be there as our mother, to continue to watch over us, to care for us. Story number two. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting on the plane now, and as I'm sitting, I got on there a little early. A whole family comes in at the end. Five children, babe in arms, mother looks bedraggled, husband looks stressed and strained. And now I know after a day like that, they had been caught in Denver, you know, waited and waited and waited. And the kids are cranky, mom's cranky, everybody's cranky. In fact, as she's coming out, she's very cranky and she made everybody sit down. And as she sat down, her little boy was sitting next to me. She sat across the aisle from me and then her little girl next to her. And there was a moment she put her head down, and I'm sure she didn't know that I was looking, but she was crying. You know, she was just her head down. I mean, it was just like the end of the day. It's the last thing.
It's a hard
and
any
time the kids would ask anything, she was just, you know, she didn't know how to handle it. So, again, I said a little prayer. Mary, this woman needs your help. You know, if you want me to say something, I will. I don't know how to intervene to that. You know, I didn't know how to say anything because, you know, you just say, hey, are you okay, lady? You know, I didn't know how to do that.
Right.
So I say this little prayer. And as soon as the prayer is over, her son sitting next to me spills his pop all over me.
Oh, no.
A sign from heaven. A sign from heaven. Well, that became a moment of discourse. And I said, oh, don't, she apologized. And I said, don't worry about it. I said, you know, I run a camp for kids and I'm used to kids. And she looked at me and she said, are you Teresa?
Really?
Well, turns out we know each other and we have the most beautiful conversation. And what she said was, I said a little prayer for you. I could see her going through a hard time. And she says, yeah, I am. And she shared, I don't need to share her personal story. But it was a moment of visitation. It was a moment you could see her spirit lift. You could see the burden taken off her shoulder, you know. And then there was conversation about God and how God works in our lives and that we're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a Mary intervention if I ever saw one. A Mary intervention if I ever saw one. This dogma, we need to define the dogma for ourselves. You know, and the Holy Father said something. He said, you know, define a dogma in your own life. Make this your dogma. You know, spend today and not say, oh, I have to go to church, as Chris has been saying all morning. You get to go to church today. You get to go and celebrate this great lady in your life, in our lives, who is active and working in heaven for our salvation because she's already reached it. She's already made it. She gives us the example. She gives us the hope. She's Our Lady of Hope.
Mm-hmm.
She gives us the hope that it doesn't end here. We're not out of control. We do have powers in our lives that are bigger than we are. We do know where we're going. Third story and last story, because I only have a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. We're going to the car place to get a rent-a-car. And as we're standing there and we're late for something and we're kind of hurrying, there's this gentleman who is serving us. And I go off to the bathroom, as I usually do, and come back. And so my other members are working with him. And I hear that they're talking about God. At least that's what I thought. I think somebody must have said, God bless you. And he says, oh, nobody ever says that. And we started to talk. And it turns out that this young man has no church, no background, no faith. And we end up spending 15 minutes discussing faith and where God is in his life. And it turned out to be a moment of evangelization. And he concludes by saying, did you ever watch The Passion of the Christ? Mm-hmm. And we didn't know if he liked it or didn't like it. And so we all said, well, you know, we watch it all the time, you know, every Lent, and it's really powerful in our lives and that sort of thing. He says, you know, the part I like best, I like the part about Mary. Now, this is a kid who doesn't even know what church is, has never been to church or anything. I like the part about Mary because I have a mother, common sense, mm-hmm. and she takes care of me. I would imagine, you know, that it must have been great consolation to Jesus to have a mother. And I think she must be helping me too. Quote, unquote.
Wow.
I happen to have a rosary in my pocket, and I gave it to him. Yep. And I said, you continue to pray to Mary, and you continue to ask her to intercede for you. And I bet she'll take you to church where you can put your life, you know, before God and let him continue to work so beautifully in you as he already is. Mm-hmm. Mary will help you. And he was totally open to that. Mary had already been working in his life. Mary had already touched him. So today, define your own dogma. What does this dogma mean to you? It in your prayer life, in your outreach, love and contemplation, love and dedication. It's a phrase of Bishop Jacinto, our founder. Love and contemplation. Love always leads us to prayer. Prayer always leads us to good works, to God's works. Let that be the definition. Define it for yourself. What is that going to mean today? And when you find yourself out of control, as I do all the time, or when my car breaks down and I can't go, just pause, ponder, symbolosa. Make that pondering a connection with God. God, this is your work. I'm here for you. Show me the way. Mm-hmm. This is what it's all about. And I'd like to conclude with a little phrase that we use in ProSanctity all the time. Because we do need a mother, and we do need to trust that the mother works for us. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, true model of every holiness, give trust to become saints. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, before we let you go, yes. We were talking about a couple of books.
Thank you. Yes. This is so good to keep me on task. Everybody always asks me, what can I read? I have been reading, and so I don't give books that I haven't read myself, but there's three books that I think are just beautiful. One I discovered at a thrift store, and the other two I got at one of our great Catholic stores here in town. The Catechesis on Mary, Mother of God by John Paul II, called Theotokos, Woman, Mother, Disciple. In the 90s, he gave a series, I think it was 70 talks on Our Lady. It's almost like Theology of the Body. It's Theology of Mary or Mariology of Pope John Paul II. And he does talk about Mariology in there, the study of Mary. It's beautiful. They're short, they're sweet, they're to the point, they're very practical. Theotokos by John Paul II. Can't miss it. And then I have a classmate and now an assistant at the Marian Institute in Dayton who put together all the documents on the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's called Mother of Christ, Mother of the Church. Very simple. Mother of Christ, Mother of the Church by Jean Frisk, F-R-I-S-K. She's a beautiful lady. She belongs to the Schoenstatt movement, and she has a great devotion to Mary. So she took all the documents on Mary, put a nice introduction that helps you to understand the document, and then gives you the document itself. So you have them all in one handy volume.
Beautiful.
And you can find it or maybe look on it online. It's called The Assumption of Mary by Killian Healy, H-E-A-L-Y. Maybe it's Haley, H-E-A-L-Y. He's a Carmelite. And his reflection on the Assumption gives you the background, gives you personal points, takes you through the liturgy, the theology, and the actual practice of the Assumption in the life of the church. It's by Michael Glazier Incorporated Press. Michael Glazier. I don't know if it's in, I found it at a thrift shop. But it's
Liturgical Press now publishes Michael Glazier books.
Wonderful, mm-hmm. Wonderful. So that's, and it's from the Mary Library through a great Mariologist, Eamon Carroll, has put these books together. But the author is Haley, H-E-A-L-Y, The Assumption of Mary. All excellent right. book, excellent resource.
Well, we'll get those hopefully up on the website here too.
Exactly. If you met, I'm just sitting, you had me in tears now last because that's what I needed to hear today. Anyway, if you have listened to Teresa, what she's had to say, or if you missed a part of it, just go to our website after 9 o'clock and just click on the Spirit Morning Show logo. It will take you to this week's guest. You'll find Teresa's name. Click on it, and you can listen once again.
All over again.
And then you can listen Friday, too, because she's going to be here Friday to talk about St. Jane de Chantal.
One of my best friends.
So glad.
Well, Teresa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
wonderful.
Again, just echoing, building on what Teresa said, we have a beautiful opportunity mm-hmm. in front of us today to mm-hmm. attend celebration of the Mass.
Mm-hmm. But you have to go.
So please do something.
In case you need incentive, is a requirement of the church.
All right, we're going to take a break for news, sports, and weather headlines with T. Scott Maher, and then we'll be back.
You'll be glad you did. Go to church, that is.
That's right.
There you go.
Okay.